Check, 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 check.
All right, we'll start the work session at 5:34 on October, what's it, 5th today?
Oh.
October 5th. All right, and on the agenda, welcome everybody to the work session in the audience. Tony's here. Oh, we got to get Tony in and out of here. He's got a meeting to go to later this evening. Tony, why don't you come on over?
Is our attorney?
Tony's not going to be here. Okay. John, what's John's last name? He's filled in for Tony before. Tony's going to be away tonight, but Tony Rosignol won't be here. So what we're talking about, and I'll just introduce and let Tony go. You'll find in this year's proposed budget, we were experiencing heavy goose traffic in Lysander Park. First time I've ever seen it firsthand, because my son plays Pop Warner football now, and he's rolling around in it, and it's like there's flocks and flocks of geese. And taking him home, his jersey goes from red to like a reddish green. It's pretty disgusting. And it got to the point where it was a health issue. There were a bunch of kids, including my son, that went out sick with bacteria infections and no way to explain it. So we looked into some control methods, and one of them was looking at a collie business that Onondaga Lake Park is utilized, and that was pretty costly. You'll see a $4,000 amount in this year's budget. But in the meantime, I think we've come up with a better solution. And Tony, why don't you fill the board in on what you've come up with?
So basically what we've asked is, Mary Lathrop has a small little dog, and we proposed, and I brought it up to the supervisor, of asking the dog to come in to work with her during her work hours. And in the morning when she came in, she would let the dog go, and it basically did the job. It kept the geese off the playing field and kept most of the geese out of the park for the most part. And they would come in with her. It would stay in the little park office there, and she would do it three times a day. Once in the morning, like I said, when she first got in the afternoon, right after her lunch break, and right before she left at the end of the day. And it's been working, and it has been working. So what I mentioned to the supervisor is, since this has been successful, and we revisit and look at the dog policy at the park and allow dogs into the park, and we would put a leash law on there. We put pet stations and put these around the park, and just want to bring it before you guys and say how successful it has been, and look at this for this year.
Can I make a suggestion? It's apples and oranges. Your employee, which I think is fantastic, bringing her dog in to harass the geese, that's over here. Letting people bring their dogs into the park has nothing to do with geese, and ought not to have anything to do with geese, because the goal here is to keep them on 6-foot leashes. And I support both, by the way.
Okay.
But don't confuse the two issues. They're completely separate.
So
you're not letting the public in to take
to release their dogs and chase the geese.
No. I mean, the reason for allowing the dogs into the park, if somebody saw her with her dog there, we can say we're allowing dogs in the park.
No. Even if you didn't have allowing dogs in the park, you can still have her bring her dog in, because it's policy for this town, and we can do something to make it official policy to take care of the goose problem.
Yeah, we could always make an exception. We could always make an exception for Tink, the goose dog.
I don't have a problem with dogs going into the park for recreational
Tink.
Use, as long as, you know, where they're going to be away from the eventual spay park. We're not going to let them in that area. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, we wouldn't let them in.
Eventually.
Right.
In where?
We wouldn't allow them in the spray park area. But
no, this is...
The real issue is most families have a pet.
Right.
And it's part of the family.
Right.
If they're going to the park for the day, they should be allowed to bring their dog in and follow the rules.
Right.
Clean them after your pet. Keep it on a leash. keep it under control.
Yeah.
Enjoy your day.
I think it's a good idea.
How many of these are you looking for?
I'm looking at 3. 2 at the entrance, 1 down by the soccer field, 1 at the main entrance coming in, and another 1 by the playground.
What's the expense?
$189 per.
Plus. They're not cheap, but you gotta have them.
Right.
But they're pretty rugged. Once they're in.
Right.
Just, you know, if you want to provide bags, bags are pretty cheap.
I found a bundle where you can get 3 signs and 4,000 bags for like $600. If you bundle them.
They look good. And it shows the public that, you know, we're serious about wanting them to clean up after their dogs. There's no excuse if they don't. You know, oh, I forgot a bag. No, well, we have cleanup stations throughout the park. You know, it's, and for the most part, I think Onondaga Lake Park has had a very successful run at allowing pets in the park. And people, I think, understand.
Well, we've always allowed, just, you know, for the record, the dogs have always been allowed in every single county park, with the exception of the zoo. And in the in the 80s, we eliminated them at Beaver Lake, because they used to be allowed at Beaver Lake, too. But, and I don't think you can bring them into Alliance Bank Stadium, but other than that, they've always been allowed. All we did is we installed these pet waste stations, maybe not that brand, just to encourage people to clean up.
Right.
Because that was a big mess. And we've always had them on the 6-foot leash. And people have abided by it.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're trying to highlight this park, and the best way to highlight the park is to try to bring more people in. And like it's Bob said, having your dog there is part of the family. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. Now, to go back to the other one, is Mary going to continue to bring her dog to work?
During the geese
season?
Season, yeah.
That's terrible.
I got to tell you.
That's a very good solution.
That week, because I'm there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights, I saw 1 goose. As opposed to 50, 60, 70 geese that would not fly. You could chase the geese around. They just kind of move.
Right.
But this dog terrorizes them. It's this little, I don't know, thing looks like a guinea pig. I mean, it's like this, maybe they think it's a weasel. I don't know, but they don't stick around.
They don't.
And they know now it's not a safe place. I saw some seagulls, but, I mean, it's doing the job. And it's not, doesn't cost anywhere. It's free, you know, so.
I guess what I'm looking for is approval to go ahead and purchase these and lift the band.
Yeah, do you have money in this year's budget? I mean, I'm wondering if we need to make a motion adjusting the policy of the park. I guess we should. And then you can take that sign down, make the modification of the sign. So
what about the other no law?
No alcohol?
Alcohol.
I guess we can revisit that.
Well, let's do this since there's consensus here on the dogs. I think that
I got mixed feelings about it because I've heard good things about people who rent it for graduation parties. They like it so that they don't have to worry about alcohol at the graduation parties because it's a park rule. And it kind of gets them off the hook. So
well, we don't need to be parents for people to.
No, but I mean.
Can we just go back to the dog thing for a second? I have no problem doing a. I just want to. This is the technical part of it, and I wish Tony was here. I have no problem doing a resolution, but if we don't have to do it in resolution, and you can just do it administratively as the town supervisor, I'd rather do that. Because, you know, we don't have to do resolutions for everything.
Yeah, the only reason why I don't mind them is because it's a good way to memorialize when the board made the call. Okay. Because it's one thing to look up and see that it was discussed in a work session.
Right.
It's another, you know, and I'm passing a motion, and I get a motion amending the parks. No dogs allowed to now accept dogs. Or, I don't know, we'll come up with a better motion than that. And then it's in on the record. Was there any public comment on that? Anybody in the audience wishing to make a comment on the discussion?
You can always reverse it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it turns into chaos and dogs are ripping each other apart.
enforcement requirements for the dogs on leashes or not on leashes or not cleaned up after.
Jim, what has happened is it's a self-policing, kind of peer policing program. People, are, for the most part, are respectful of those kinds of regulations. And every once in a while, you got a clown we used to have them at Long Branch Park, that they would show up and take all their dogs off the leash, and you deal with it. You know, you go out there and say, hey, look, you can't do that. You know, you want to visit this park? Put your dog on a leash, and you deal with it. But 98% of the time, even perhaps even higher, people just, they follow the regulations.
I'm more concerned as a farm boy about the other aspect. Do you have to catch them in the act, or is...
What's that?
Not cleaning up after the dog.
I mean, we'll still police it, and I guarantee you there's going to be occasions where our staff is going to have to do some cleanup. You know, but...
Just asking now.
Yeah, but whether we put fines in place or anything like that, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we cross that bridge down the road if it turns into a major problem, but...
As far as the dogs, you know, messing in the park, as long as you got baskets in there, you got plastic bags. I have a large dog, and I walk in Radisson a lot. I always have 2 or 3 bags with me all the time.
Yep.
All right. As far as the dogs chasing the geese away, I know from talking, I golf with Bob many times, we see this stuff on the golf course all the time. What happens when these geese have little ones? They are very, very protective of them. I mean, you get next to them as a golfer or on a golf cart, they will attack you. They will come after you.
I would
just say this little dog or big dog might be in for a little fight.
Oh, and one way, I got into a stare down the other day right outside supervisor's office. I mean, I shoo them away from the apple tree because they make a mess in our parking lot and on the sidewalks. One ran for a second and then stopped and turned around and was like,
"He says, Joe,
you want to go?" Stop me in my tracks.
That's a great idea. Don't get me wrong. I just, you know, you guys that have park experience, you know what they're like when they have chicks.
They can be aggressive. They can be aggressive. But
if you keep up on it in the spring, like Timber Banks has 2 Weinreiters that they keep at the golf course, and if you keep up on it so that they don't nest in the spring, shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, they're going to nest in safe areas if there's this little thing running around chasing them.
They're not nesting in the park, are they?
No.
There's no swamps.
Do you see little babies?
We have seen little ones, but, I mean...
Well, then they're nesting because they're not flying.
But there's like... There have been 1 or 2 cases of that. And they're not there the next day, so I mean...
So for geese control, we've got Tink. But for policy in the park, I think there's consensus that we allow dogs in the park. And
you know,
so
I think the town ought to authorize Tony to add a petty cash to buy a box of Milk-Bone dog biscuits for the dog. It's a joke, Tony. He never laughs.
No, call it a Tink account. I mean, the fact that she's willing to bring her dog in, I mean, that's nice. I mean,
yeah.
It's doing work for us.
I'll donate a box.
I'd have to put a resolution for that.
You know, you got 150 kids over there, and a lot of parents stay during practice.
Yep.
And then you have games. You have a lot of people that just come for a couple hours, not familiar. They bring their dog. They let it out of the car. They don't have bags. They don't go back and get the bags. Or it bites a kid. Where do we stand liability-wise?
Well, you know, that's, you know, many, many municipalities allow dogs. I mean, ultimately, it's the responsibility of the owner to control the dog. That's where the leash law comes in. If a child is bit, the authorities are called. And it's handled. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't say that it won't happen.
Did you allow them in the village parks?
I don't know. They may have. I think there are. In Mercer Park, I seem to remember seeing this last time I was there.
A community park where there's ball fields where people will be playing and games and activities. I'm not just talking a walkthrough.
Yeah, I think they do. In even outside of the parks, they're obviously walked around on sidewalks, downtown Baldwinsville, where there's a lot of people milling around. And I don't remember an instance where anybody was bit by a dog that was on a leash and managed. I think people... I can't speak for everybody, and I don't want to pay with too broad of a brush, but people with dogs understand how their dog acts around other people and other dogs. They need to be mindful of that. you can't, you know, if you got, if you have an aggressive dog and you're bringing it to a Pop Warner football game, and you know, you need to be aware of it's your responsibility.
Kids that might not be familiar with dogs. It's kids are going to be prevalent where people are going to bring their dogs. Dogs may not be used to kids.
No, yeah, no. I mean, it's up to the owner to monitor their dog's behavior, and if the dog bites somebody, gets off a leash, is out of control, that dog owner is going to be held responsible. I mean, just because we allow dogs to exist in the park or be walked in the park doesn't alleviate the owner's responsibility to control their pet.
Correct.
So that's where the check is.
What's us, by not allowing dogs, we eliminate that issue right now.
Yeah, but I think, you know,
I mean, you can't babysit the world. I mean, the county parks has 2.5 million people visiting every year.
County has a lot more money to do.
No, and I just asked Bob this: the number of dog bite incidents. I can't even remember one in my tenure at county parks. You know, people are responsible. Don't think the worst of people, Kevin.
I don't think the worst.
All right, you know what?
Okay. No, it's no.
Because you responded to me.
Okay, let's. That's a valid
football
point.
Football games, and I don't know how many county parks have 12 football games in a weekend. There's a lot of kids around.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, absolutely. Point taken. But you know, if you look at the general use of the park, the season, the football season, how short that is, you know, it's a community park. It's the one
running with their dog on a running trail.
People jogging on the trail. It just opens up the opportunity for people to be with their family pet in the park.
I think that we're trying to highlight the park. I think it's a good idea, Tony.
So, yeah, I was just asked for permission.
Yeah, so we'll put a motion out there. With the board's approval, item I.
I'm fine with that. All I would say is that really, Tony Rivasigno is the guy who can answer any legal issue. It's not, I'm not a lawyer. Right? So if there's a liability, that's something Tony can handle for us.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pretend to be a lawyer or invent a what-if scenario where the sky starts falling.
If you want to visit the alcohol policy, I would be in support of allowing alcoholic beverages in cans. We don't allow glass bottles, do we, Tony?
I think that's why it was originally banned, was because of breaking bottles.
As long as you don't allow glass, and you know, even though a six pack per person sounds like an extraordinary amount of beer, and it is, that's been the policy in the county. It's been a six pack per person, which that basically says is there's no kegs allowed. You know, like, unless you have a special permission from the parks director for a, you know, a wedding reception or something like that. And you allow beer basically for picnics, and that's so when a bunch of underage kids show up with a lot of beer, you say, you know, you're out of line. You can't do that. So I would be in favor of lifting that restriction.
Okay. Well, let's why don't we put that on the agenda for the next work session? That way we can do, you know, our own investigation into it. It's been floated, the idea. We'll put the waiver of open container law for Lysander Park as a work session item on the next in the next board meeting.
That's fine.
Okay.
There you go. So, Tony, with the board's approval, I'll enter a motion I, allowing dogs access to Lysander Community Park.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Be safe tonight. Al, do an update on the spray park.
Yeah. Hey, guys. So I got the survey back, as I said last week. Spent some time in preliminary design. Sewer-wise, we're just not going to be able to make a gravity sewer work from a cover standpoint. My fear is there's areas where we only have about a foot and a half of cover on the pipe. Frost, even the winter hot time, cracking the pipes. So we're be a heck of a lot of earthwork to actually, a heck of a lot of earthwork and cost to actually make a gravity sewer work. So At this point in time, I think we should go back to a grinder pump system. You can get a prepackaged triplex unit that'll handle up to 16 stalls, so it leaves plenty of room for expansion, because we've got the six changing stalls plus our existing. We've got seven stalls there now, so we would have room for expansion. Package price of that unit is about $14,000. Inch and a quarter force main directional drilled is about $14 a foot, so there's a significant savings on the pipe install initially, which offsets the grinder pump replacement. I mean, and with continuous use, these pumps typically last about 15 years, so, and we're only using them approximately 8 months a year, so hopefully we get 20, 25 years out of each pump, and before we have to worry about it again. But I don't think it's worth the risk of trying to, risk or expense of trying to do the earthwork to get cover on the pipe. And
so we do have the fall. We do have the fall.
We got the fall, but we just don't have cover.
It's too shallow.
Yeah.
It's
in the middle.
It's not below the frost line.
Yeah, and you know what happens. The frost will heave the pipe, then the next spring we'll end up with cracked bells, and dirt will infiltrate, and over time we'll have a headache.
I mean, the original thought was to go this way anyways, but then when we heard that it was 11
feet to the manhole,
we thought that
we could make gravity work, but without cover on the pipe, because there's that low spot through the front lawn of the park that it just gets too shallow to make that work.
And that's where an elevation survey really.
Yeah, we wouldn't know. Yeah, without having topography there, we don't really know.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we need topography for the pond design, so it was a necessary.
So we would do this regardless of the spray park, because we want to hook into the sewers. Is that
yes?
Yeah, okay. To get off septic.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. We were either going to run a gravity sewer or a.
A pressure sewer. I mean, I was hopeful to make a gravity sewer work, like I said, once we knew that that manhole was 11 feet deep. I thought, no, we should be able to make this work, but that low spot in the middle of the front lawn kind of makes it out of reach. So other than that, I've been trying to make time to work on it, but right now we've got a ton of construction going on that has been monopolizing all of my time.
Mercer
right
Street.
Yeah, we got Mercer Street, Whisper and Oaks going on. Timber Banks is putting roads in. I got sewer testing tomorrow at Longview. There's a ton of construction going on for this late in the season still. I actually got a couple.
You need to get here earlier.
Seven's early enough, Bob. for this late in the season, we've got a ton of construction left going on, and it's obviously because of the wet spring that we had this year.
You had good weather.
Yeah, I mean, right now we've been blessed. I mean, it looks like Monday and Tuesday are wet next week, but after that it dries right back out again. So hopefully this pattern will hold for another couple weeks, and everybody will finish everything up. Wow. Elizabeth Street Highway Building Improvements. We've got, we do have some money left in our building account. Right now we got approximately $19,000. We have the issue of the sanitary sewer lateral over there that freezes in the winter that really needs to have something done with it, and the fire department has requested some patching of the driveway. The driveway currently is, I don't even know if it's ever been blacktopped. I think it's all just chip sealed, stone and oil, and it's pretty busted up right now, lots of potholes. My thought would be see if we can get an oil truck and fill in the potholes with chip seal, and chip seal all the paved surfaces before winter, just to, one, make it easier for plowing, and two, so we're not
hurting our equipment or the fire department.
Yeah,
equipment.
Whoever the fire department has plow it, so we're not beating up their trucks. There's also one pipe over there that the end. There's one pipe over there that the end of it is rotted off that we need to replace a section of 10-inch pipe. We'll pull out a section. What's that? It's under the parking lot. We'll pull out a section of the 10-inch back to the next bell and put a piece of plastic in. The bell on the plastic pipe fits right over the 10-inch corrugated steel. We'll mortar the end of it and make it soil tight and stuff it into the existing catch basin to fix that.
Gene, do you think we can use our guys for that? We don't need to. Just say no. Don't. You don't have to shake your head. If
we already talked to him about this, we cold patch the potholes as best as we can. Some of them are deep enough for the cold patch to work. Some aren't. But it's way past the end of the season for oil trucks and the trucks that are still active are committed until.
Well, if Al can get, if Al can find it, if we can get it done, we can get it done.
So the sewer lateral.
Sounds like a challenge, Al. Do we have to call you the Wizard of Oz if you get it done?
Please don't.
We already covered this with Al, with the fire department. We've been down there. We swept the lot. The potholes, saw what we could accomplish, and decided that we could, in the spring, get an oil truck and fix it. And it'd be nice, be decent. But for this winter, the best that we could do is cold patch what's there. This is already.
What do you think of cold patch as a solution?
I don't know if it'll stay over the winter if the plows will just plow it off. But, I mean, if that's what we want to try, that's fine. I don't know if it'll stay in place. As far as the sewer lateral, if Gene has a couple guys available, we could try to do that in-house and through to the vacant lot on Mechanic Street. There's an existing lateral, so we don't have to cut through the new sidewalk on Mechanic Street. It is deep enough that we can have fall and cover for frost protection and good gravity flow back to the existing lateral coming out of the barn.
We now own that piece of property. It's official.
So you're abandoning the old lateral?
Yeah, we would abandon the place and go out to Mechanic Street.
It's too shallow.
And we'd have to replace it and get it deep enough, we'd have to go to the manhole, which is on the other side of Elizabeth Street, so you got a village road cut.
Will the $19,000 that we have budgeted cover all of this, or where are we looking?
Yeah, no, that's what I was. That's the next thing I was going. Even if Gene can't help us with the sewer lateral, we could. I can get quotes. I think we can probably get that done for between $8,000 and $9,000 if we have to contract the whole thing. We'll supply, get pipe, and have stone delivered, and get a contractor to do it if we need to.
Okay, good news.
As long as everybody's okay with that plan of action.
So I would say, I'm familiar with cold patch. I mean, cold patch doesn't work in the summer when it's hot and pliable. You know, it just.
Okay, declare yourselves.
I'm not by any means, but I applied it as working for the county.
Substantial improvements in cold patch in the past 2 years. Different products available. It's actually produced in Rochester. It's available in Geneva. We have another product that's DPM, either UPM or DPM, that's available from Gorman and to the east of the part of the state. The closest spot is Clinton, New York. So it's a better material. It's got some kind of a emulsion, epoxy, whatever in it. It's considerably stickier than traditional cold patch, and we've been using this stuff for 2 years.
Do you think you could get it in this fall?
Last week we were putting it on out in the reds, and it's not something we don't have any scientists in our work for the highway department. We have material that is commonly available to the highway department, and we've been using it. Works.
All right. If you think that that's the solution, Gene, I'll go with you. Go.
Depends on the depth of the hole, the shape of the hole. And there's different requirements. Okay, but as far as its stickiness and staying put, it does.
Okay.
If the hole wasn't. A half an inch deep depression is not worthy or conducive to, you know, any kind of...
All right, so let me ask you a question. In that instance, is oil and stone better?
Well, that's a permanent repair. Okay, we can't do that this time of year.
But if we can, if we can...
Maybe you can. I don't know. Maybe you're Superman. I'm telling you that the people who have the trucks, Midland and Suco, are both committed to their existing work.
All right. So let's Al, try to get them. If you can't, then we'll go with the coal patch, and we'll just
live with that till spring.
One of the things that the code review committee has discussed, and it really is a problem for my department, is fences. Because we don't require permits for fences, what ends up happening is they've got fences across easements all over town, and it's a nightmare when we have to do maintenance work. We need to establish some kind of a fence code so that we know when a fence is going in, and we can, you know, say, hey, no, you can't put your fence in the easement. There's considerable cost involved in removing fences when we have to do work, and it really is something that has needed to be addressed for a long time. I know Ron Patchett pulled a few different examples from local municipalities that we could model ours after. I don't think we need a fence code in agricultural areas. Obviously, agricultural fences would be exempt, but this truly is an issue for maintenance of our drainage infrastructure that we've got to somehow. It's to the point that we'll a new development will go in, a new house will go in, and like within a year, all of a sudden there's fence. You know, somebody spent thousands of dollars and put a fence right through the middle of the drainage easement. And it's, what do you do then? I mean, do you, if we could get a handle on it and have some kind of a permit process where somebody's got to show a survey and where their property corners are and where the easements are so that we don't, I mean, unless, believe me, I got an engineer because I like to solve problems. I don't like causing problems for people. If we can prevent a problem from happening by having a fence code, we should have a fence code.
That makes sense. So right now there's no permitting that you can just put a fence up.
Yeah.
And so you're saying we need to develop this, and how do you propose that we do this?
Well, like I said, Ron's pulled a few examples. I think he's pulled four or five different examples. I personally think a setback is a good idea. I mean, how do you maintain a fence if it's built on the property line without...
You'll work out the details, but yeah. What's the protocol from this point forward?
It has to be a local law because it would have to go into the zoning code.
No, is there going to be a committee that should...
Well, yeah, we could do a separate subcommittee, or we could do it through the code review committee.
Okay.
And bring it back to you. However you guys want to do it, but it's something that...
There's a lot of fence code out there.
Yeah, tons of different stuff.
And the fence building season is just about over. So we can take our time on this, but we should have something in place by next year. This isn't a code that I would want to interfere with our code review and revision and update. You know, we held off on that because we had some local laws in process. But certainly if we could have a goal to have a fence law in place by January, February.
Yeah, that'd be fine. It's something that it really is a headache. And because there's no permit required and nobody's reviewing it, yet.
Three things are the biggest issues in most municipalities: barking dogs, fences, and trees.
Abandoned cars, many vehicles is the other one I hear all the time.
But
that's something that, you know, provided the board's okay with it, we can just do it with the same subcommittee that's doing code review. Everybody there is versed in.
Makes sense to
what
me.
What we're doing, but it's a. It really is a.
And the focus would be an AR-40 and higher density.
Higher density, yeah. I mean, agricultural, even agricultural. I think some common sense for residential fences, a 2-foot setback so that somebody can actually maintain it, makes sense. I mean, you shouldn't have. a code that allows, basically requires somebody to trespass on a neighbor's property to maintain the outside of their fence.
Well, you guys review everything. Just come back with a proposal.
Okay. Yeah, as long as everybody's good with it, that's all I had for tonight.
But what if two neighbors go together and put a single fence up?
As long as there is, you could do it two ways. Like, I've seen municipalities, I believe Town of Sullivan makes you actually go in front of the ZBA if you want to tie the two fences together and get a variance. Town of Verona, where I live, like my fence ties into my neighbor's fence, and it was just, hey, bring us a letter from the property owner stating that you have permission to tie your fence into their fence, and you can have a permit. And that's all it was, is just a general acknowledgement that goes in the file. If the property changes hands, somebody makes an issue of it, I suppose the town could say, no, you can't connect there anymore, and you got to take out, you know, that connection point. The town did make me put a gate on so that they could access the back to maintain their side of the fence if they wanted to, which, whatever, that's fine. But, yeah, that was... you know, those are a couple. Those are common things. I mean, that's a lot of neighbors. Their fence abut. You know, rather than having two rows of fence along the property line, their fence is abut, and they just put a gate in or you know, make provisions for access to maintain the backside of the fence. So.
Yep. All right.
The only other thing, I spoke with Bob about this. You'll see the Smart Watt proposal is back on the agenda. The direct wire LED fixtures for the fluorescent tube lights are not covered by the National Grid grant money. And the reason being, once you take the ballast out, if somebody mistakenly tried to put a regular fluorescent bulb in, there's a hazard of the fluorescent bulb exploding without the ballast and being direct wired. So there's a safety factor there. So 15 years down the road, an LED dies, and somebody puts a conventional bulb into the fixture, there's a hazard of that bulb exploding and hurting somebody. So that's why they do not cover the direct wire LED fixtures under the Smart Watt grant program. So what they've proposed, which is not as energy efficient as the direct wire bulbs, is LEDs that work on a regular conventional T5 ballast. And you get the energy savings. Like if you touch one of these bulbs, they're warm to the touch. There's heat loss in these fluorescent tubes. If you touch an LED bulb, there's essentially no heat loss. They don't generate any heat. So that's the energy savings in the
And you said
bulbs.
The return on investment's about a year.
1 year for this building, 15 months for the highway garage. Through the Smart Watt program, you get 0% interest-free financing. For up to 12 months. So our utility bill will go up slightly at the highway garage for 1 year, but slightly as in less than $10 a month typically, because it's like $150. So I guess a little over $10 a month, like 11, that'd be, yeah, it's like 11, 12 bucks a month. Our electric bill typically would be the increase at the highway garage to pay it off within 12 months of interest-free financing, so no cost out of pocket. Our employees do have to swap out the bulbs if we, because of the prevailing wage requirement, if we had
some. We have to dispose of them properly.
Yes, we have to dispose of them.
There's a cost there.
I don't think it's all that much though.
I thought it was like $2 a bulb.
Actually, I think when Okra does their hazardous waste collection, we could probably get rid of them for free. Because Okra does their hazardous waste collection days. They do two of them a year, I believe. We can probably take them right there and get rid of them for no cost.
Cool.
Nice.
Awesome.
All right. Excuse me.
So,
all right.
So I'm looking at the municipal building now.
Yep.
$123.33 a month. But you're saying with the energy savings.
Yep.
The actual price for the...
Go to the next page here. Put that over here.
You're basically saying our energy savings are paying for the bulbs.
Exactly.
Essentially.
The return on investment is...
And then the following year, then you're...
Yeah. I
got it. That's good. Okay,
exactly.
Thanks.
Okay. So, as long as everybody's... I put it back on. I think it's a I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, the life expectancy on the LEDs is 15 years. I mean, it's in 15 years, I would be surprised if you could buy anything other than LED bulbs. The price has come down on them so much, I don't know why anybody wouldn't.
You shouldn't have to change these bulbs in 15 years. Once you go LED...
That, I think the LED officially, when you the research that I've done, the service life of them is 50 years.
It may have come down significantly.
And it's not the
50 years.
Well, it's not the bulb; it's the circuit board. The dust on the circuit board for the LED is what makes them fail. It's not the actual LED light itself. It's the actual printed circuit board that runs the LED that fails on them. So, all right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
What time is it?
It is 6:14.
6:14.
I have a draft mailbox policy.
All right.
Sure that one, yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Is that the last one we're working on?
I had an opportunity to spend some time with Gene and put into print a draft mailbox replacement policy. I just did this afternoon, so I just put it in the mailbox of the highway committee, so they haven't even seen it yet. But read it over, comments, and we'll try to get this all wrapped up by next meeting. We can. That's the fourth and final one that we wanted to accomplish.
Perfect. Okay. All right, so just in looking at it real quick.
Yep.
So the first part of it would be a situation where our truck driver reports hitting a mailbox.
Correct.
And that sets in motion an analysis. Should we put in there what happens when a call comes in where it wasn't reported and how it should be handled? Should a call come in?
Paragraph 2.
Okay, done. Actually, this looks good. So this isn't too far off of what you had.
No.
Can I ask a quick question, though?
Sure.
You probably want us to read this in a little bit more detail, but it says, I'm getting the impression that if we hit the mailbox, we will accept it as liability if we hit it with a plow, but you're not really addressing what happens a lot, but you do say it here, was struck by our plow, or if snow pressure damaged the mailbox. What happens if snow pressure damages the mailbox? I would think we're not liable for that.
That is correct.
Does it
then
say
the,
that?
Then the homeowner is responsible.
It doesn't say that.
Well,
should it be determined that snow pressure, maybe a sentence, should it be determined that snow pressure caused the damage, then the town of Lysander would not be liable
for it. I guess
how
I put it was that if we hit it, then we're accepting the liability.
I know, but
and if we determine that, we didn't hit it, and it was damaged by snow pressures.
Yeah, just add that. Just add a sentence that clarifies that, we are. It's not our responsibility if the mailbox is damaged by snow pressure. Because that's what happens a lot. It's not that the plow hits the mailbox. It's just that there's so much snow being thrown up.
Yeah, so with that amendment, I would propose that on the next agenda,
that makes sense, Bill.
Yep. We adopt the policies that the Highway Committee has been working on. Great. And that would be a millings policy, personal use of company vehicle, mailbox,
private property access.
And private property access.
And I'd ask that you also approve the whistleblower policy.
We'll review that as well, because we just received that.
Last meeting.
Okay. Are there any comments? Did you guys read this since we got some time?
I did.
Do we have some time?
Do you guys have any feedback or anything we could add to it to make it stronger? Again, this is a sample from the town of Camillus. A couple other towns had similar policies.
clear to me. I understand it.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cut and dry.
All right. We'll put this on as the fifth one to adopt.
The only one question I had, Roman, and basically on the procedure process for raising a concern.
Yes.
The second one says employment. Related concerns should continue to be reported through normal channels, such as your immediate supervisor or department head. What does that mean? I mean, the first one says that if you really have an issue, you can go directly to the town supervisor or to the town board, right?
I would think it would be a chain of command. So if there's a normal problem, you'd go through the chain of command. If the problem is with the supervisor or the person that is above you, then you take it to the town supervisor.
I know, but you've got process for raising a concern. Okay, sure. I got a concern. I'm an employer. What do I do? Reporting. The whistleblowing process is intended to use for serious and sensitive. Such concern may be reported to the town supervisor or directly to the town board. Okay, but then I don't know what the next two are there for. I mean, I guess the timing one makes sense. The concern should be reported promptly, but the second one confuses me. If I'm an employee, I don't know what you're telling me here. Related concerns should continue to be reported through normal channels.
Is that really? I mean, I guess you could probably lump that all into one paragraph.
Yeah, you know, maybe the last sentence in the first bullet would be normal concerns in your thing should go through your.
Right.
But this is basically where you can't talk to your boss, right? And you need to do an end run.
Well, related concerns, I would think, would just be normal concerns. So maybe we could change the word related to normal.
But you've got procedure, process for raising a concern.
Sure. So
this is all about whistleblowing. I put myself in the shoes of an employee, and I got confused when I read that second.
So maybe what I can do is I can take out the word related. We could put normal concerns should continue to be reported to through the normal chain of command.
No, employment's distracting too. Because what does employment mean?
What does that mean?
I mean, what follows employment has.
Right. We could subtract the paragraph.
Really, the bottom line is, if somebody has a concern that they don't,
right,
they're afraid to bring to their immediate supervisor, they bring it to
the town board or
town board or so really, and that would be the protection of the whistleblower policy. So.
You know, you could basically say, whereas normal concerns should continue to be reported through normal channels such as your immediate supervisor or department head, the whistleblowing procedure is intended to be used for serious. You know, make that actually the beginning sentence of the first bullet.
Okay.
You know, whereas related concerns should be reported through normal channels, comma, the whistleblowing procedure is intended to be used for serious and sensitive issues. That way you're making a distinction between the two types of things. So it may be a little wordsmithing there.
Okay.
So this
right up there
goes up here.
All right. I'll email that correction back to you guys.
Do you want this?
Yeah, please. Thank you.
I don't know how, but I ended up with three copies.
There you go. Copy back.
You can follow my annotations.
Here. Awesome.
Okay.
Scratch the recording.
All right. Perfect. Yeah, I think we're gonna take out most of this. We'll screw that up.
Minutes. Anything else? Is there anybody in the audience want to make any comments here?
Quick question. It was noted, I think I heard it yesterday, that I heard on the news today that they found EEE here in town of Lysander. Is that something that town of Lysander doesn't touch that, or is it more of a county thing?
That's a county control issue. Yep.
Thank you.
Where in Lysander?
I don't even know. I wasn't given
a... Do
you know where?
did say where. They just said it was one of the beds that they pulled from in the town. I have no idea where the beds were. Didn't say that.
I'd like to see them start reporting on Lyme disease.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Lyme disease is making Triple E look like a... I'm sure everybody in this room knows somebody that's come down with Lyme disease. I can't believe how prevalent it is. It's a devastating disease to get. It's usually not picked up right away. By the time you know you got it,
it's too late.
It blows my mind that, I mean, Triple E is a serious disease and it's taken lives, but I mean, so is Lyme disease. So hopefully they start paying more attention to that as well. All right.
How do you know if it's snow pressure versus a flat? Like, if I got home from work and I saw that the mailbox was busted.
Typically, if a mailbox is hit, struck by a plow, there'll be paint on it, there'll be dents, there'll be gouges in it, where if they're just driving by it and snow pressure knocks it off, typically it's rotten wood or the post in the ground.
It's structurally unsound. It's not able to withstand the normal weathering.
And if they hit it, it's probably up in your front yard.
Okay, let's set the room up and then...
The car. It's pretty big. I'm going to put it in the next year's truck, all right?
I had nothing to do with that. But I heard the
long steering level. Well, thanks a lot. Two churches close by. If I were you, I'd hope I did something about it.
That I don't want to know.
No, wait a minute. Which side are you talking about? No, because there's
the downstream side of the Drake's Landing.
I'm talking on the north. It would be the north side of Great Virgin. You did something on the south side of Great Virgin and no house.
Yep, that should be the ninth.
So if you're going up Drake's on the right hand side of
right, that Great Virgin.
Yeah. Did she just cut and paste from last year, maybe?
I have no idea.
You want better chairs than these? You want these padded chairs? How about the other dates? Usually we mess up on the updates.
Thursday, October 19th. Tax levy limit. We don't even have one. We don't have it listed here. I mean, we should have a public hearing November 9th for the public hearing for the budget.
On November 9th?
November 9th.
So the 6th.
Public hearing Thursday, November 9th.
Hearing Thursday, November 9th.
And that is the day that we chose, right? It's the Thursday after election.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thursday for what? For to adopt the budget? To public hearing?
That's the public hearing.
Oh, public hearing. There will be a public hearing Thursday, November 9th for the adoption or for the consideration.
What should I use? For the consideration of the, or to hear, or just on the
preliminary budget.
For the preliminary
of the 2018 preliminary budget.
Good. 2018 preliminary budget. Anything else? Good catch. November 16th is regarding adoption, so that's when we vote on it.
Yep. That's right.
Thursday, November 2nd, regarding the adoption of the local law to override the tax levy.
Yeah.
Why are we setting that so far out?
Which one?
A public hearing for November 2nd regarding the adoption of the local law to override.
I don't know. Who put that
in? Yeah, they're always on that
one. We did.
See, Dina should be here right now. We got time.
So do we have?